I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, we're back at headquarters after Corey and Dave were on location. We had the Twins ball game yesterday. It's over for the club. They earlier in the day, I don't know if Corey mentioned it, they Jim Polad sold the team. They fired Falvey and Levine. They fired Baldelli. And they've hired Jack McKeon, who I think is like 94.
Is he still alive?
I think he is.
Yeah, Jim Leland still alive?
Jim Leland is still alive. And presently, right now, he's smoking a cigarette.
I was going to say.
Has to be. Yeah. Smoking a cigarette. Yeah, the ball club, a horrific ball game yesterday. We'll get to the Twins in a little bit. We have a good guest for today. Dara, let's get to Dara first. So Dara's normally 235. Gerson Rosas, the president of basketball operations for the Minnesota Timberwolves, is going to be here in studio right around 220. So because of that, Dara is with us at 135. So for the Dara lovers, and if not a Dara lover, there's something wrong with you. Dara will be at 1:35 and not 2:35. And then the mayor of Minneapolis, Jacob Frey, he will be with us in 30 minutes at 12:35. I want to talk about my sleep. I've alluded to it a little bit lately, but I'm literally saying this because I need help. I need help for people who actually like this show. I need help from people who hate this show or hate me. Because I have tried so many different ideas, and I am literally at the worst point of my life with my sleep ever. And the part that I am so struggling with recently, thankfully I didn't have to work yesterday because I fell asleep Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, 5:15 a.m. I cannot get comfortable. I cannot get settled trying to sleep. And Adam, you've been around me longer than usual. I'm a fidgety person. But at night, it is so bad right now. I can rest my mind because that's one thing that a lot of people face. And I have been diagnosed by the Mayo Clinic with severe insomnia. I've tried 4 different sleep studies. I didn't fall asleep for a single second for one of them. My breathing is screwed up. I don't snore often. I snore occasionally. But my issue is I cannot get settled in bed. I toss and turn hundreds of times. And I appreciate when people will send suggestions. For me, it's just such a significant – like I've been taking Trazodone for a while now, and I have no idea if Trazodone even helps. I know this when I don't take it. I seem to have worse nights, but so much of this too is your mind over what's going on. And I've seen – like my doctor, who I love, does not think I have restless legs. I think I do, but it's not just my legs. I have a nice bed. The room's dark. The temperature's fine. I'm getting texts all night from Adam, you know, wondering why I ever came to work here because, you know, it's killing him. But no. So in all sincerity.
I hit send on those? Oh, no.
Exactly. You thought those were just.
Well, you know, my therapist says write out a text with your feelings, but don't hit send. You'll feel much better.
You almost made me choke on this horribly flavored cough drop.
I was going to say non-flavored cough drop. But yeah, so we like to joke about a lot of things. We like to do both. I'm not joking on this one. There are times at night I'm just saying, Uncle. I am capable of screaming. I am capable of trying to fight off tears. It is horrific. It is how they torture people. It is what they do to individuals to turn them inside out. And I'm not decrepit. I'm 54 years of age. How it affects me at 54 compared to 44, it's worse. How it affects me 34, we can play that game. I want some suggestion. I mean, I literally today, if you told me I could sleep, but I lose 5 years of my life, I would take it every single time. I probably would go more. Because I don't ever have a night where I fall asleep and maybe get up a couple times and sleep 7-8 hours. Never. I would take six. I would actually take five if I could just fall asleep and stay mainly asleep, but it's not, because right now it's literally hours until I fall asleep, and it just is getting worse. So if anybody has suggestions, I would so from the bottom of my heart appreciate any advice, because I would take it, because a lot of people deal with this, and I'm sure people have it significantly worse than me, and if there are ideas that maybe you have tried yourself and had success or others, any help would be great. You can reach out to me through a text, 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. If you also want to send an email, if that's easier, chad.hartman@entercom.com. But if you have any ideas, I would I will read every single one of them, and I hope something has helped you out. And if you can help me out, my gratitude is endless. All right, so it's basically my plea for help. And I've done this before, but I am at a low ebb with my sleep right now. So I'm definitely taking suggestions. We're going to do this just one more segment. I appreciate the texts that are coming in and the phone calls. Thank you so much. If you want to keep them coming, 651-989-9226. Let's run through some phone calls and some texts. This obviously affects a lot of people in this country. Graham, always a pleasure to hear from you. What's on your mind, sir?
Yeah, hi, Chad. Yeah, I've had problems over the years, too, getting to sleep. One thing I've found that can work is when you get yourself all ready to go to bed, go to sleep, get into some running gear and just go for a quick jog, like a mile and a half, 2 miles, no more than 2 miles. Don't exhaust yourself, but just flatten yourself right out. It's a great thing to go for a run at night.
It's interesting, too, because there are different theories on should you exercise later or should you not.
Yeah, I know. You got to put theories out the window sometimes. When you get back from your run, don't have a shower. Just fall on the bed. Just try and get to sleep.
Yeah, see, I not to sound like Shaletta, even though I want to sound like Shaletta a lot, I have to shower. Like what the other night,
it'll wake you up too much.
Although you know what, the other theory, I know people agree with what you're saying, and then others think. Yeah. And Graham, thanks so much for the phone call. I greatly appreciate.
Oh sure,
Adam. There are other people who say showers are great for you, and showers really help some of this fidgetiness. Because the other night I took four of them. I'm so frustrated, and that's when I nibble, and that's when I yell and blame you for all my problems. Betty, St. Louis Park. Go ahead, Betty.
Yes, Chad. I use an electric recliner. APA advertises on WCCO, and they have a cloud chair, and I've had mine since January of 1992. I sleep in it. Also, I never eat anything after 3 o'clock. I only have free breakfast between 8 and 9. I have WCCO radio on low all night. You have some super programs. And that I can just relax and listen and doze off. And finally, do you have a pet to pet?
No. My ex has a pet who's kind of like my pet, who also, we just found out yesterday, has horrible hips. I'm so bummed out about him. But, Betty, I appreciate that. I think I could hear her chair and buzzing in the background there.
I said, Miss Betty, I can hear your chair. Yeah.
I think that was her chair. Let's see. Jeannie, go ahead, Jeannie.
Hi.
Hello.
Chad, I love listening to you three. I have suffered from health issues, rheumatoid arthritis, and anxiety. And my doctor, about 10 years ago, prescribed me temazepam. T-E-M-A-Z-E-P-A-M.
Yep.
30 milligrams. I take one like an hour before I go to bed. And I sleep like a log for like 8-9 hours.
Okay. Did you have problems getting settled? Or what was your issue?
Just falling asleep.
Yeah.
And then I felt like I was the only person in the world that was awake. And it's the worst feeling in the world.
It is. It is. And I mean, and hopefully people near you can empathize with you, because it's awful.
It has saved my life, really.
Oh, Jeannie, I'm so glad you're better.
I tried trazodone, and that didn't work. And then I was so groggy the next day. And I just said, please, I need something. Like, I just could not fall asleep.
Jeannie, thanks so much. I will look that up. Yeah, Adam, I we've talked about this before. I tried Ambien with less than positive results. There were nights I had good rest. There were other nights I was loopy. With Quentin's health issues, I never could take it when I was with him. And I would have that medicine feeling more often than not. And I'd rather be exhausted than have that feeling, that medicine-y feeling where you're like you want to crawl out of your skin. Steve, go ahead. You're on WCCO.
Yeah, hi. She stole my thunder. I have been on a lorazepam for quite a while. I got high anxiety. Yeah, it sucked.
Yeah, see, that's different. She said temazepam. You're saying
L.
Okay, so yours is an L. All right, and a lot of these, Adam, initially were antidepressant medications, where they may still help, but that's not how they're looking at it. Now, somebody said this, and actually Carla sent this something to me recently on this. Look into grounding. I bought a cheap grounding strap. When you read about grounding, it makes a lot of sense. I wear this around my ankle and cord plugged in the ground. We never touch the earth with our bodies because our feet are wearing rubber shoes. Okay, it sounds bizarre, but there are a lot of people who have spoken on this and had a lot of success. Have you tried the Sleep With Me podcast? I tried that a lot in college and high school. No. Ba-dum-bum. No, I don't know that one. Have you heard of that?
Well, yeah, Jen and I were listening to, got on it for a while. I think it's the same one where it's this guy. It's just one guy, and he talks about a subject every night, and it's just like the tone of his voice and
hello.
No, he's just kind of got a strange way of delivering it. And yeah. Apparently, he'll just start talking about some topic and just start reading, about it, and it just is supposed to help you fall asleep.
Really?
It's weird because if you kind of focus on what he's saying, it's like, I don't understand. Is he really saying anything at all, or is he just kind of talking in circles?
All right. Kind of like this show.
I was going to say, I could record some stuff for you, and if you want to pay me $100 a month.
God, have you tried magnesium? I take magnesium every day.
Yep.
And it does nothing for me. A number of suggestions, including chloroform. And there's probably other texters out there who'd like to be the person who
does. I was going to say, here, let's do a scenario where there's a guy hiding in your closet, and he jumps out. you terrify you, and then you'll get a great night's sleep.
A number of people try suggesting yoga. There have been parts of my life where I've been a yogi. No, I really haven't been that often, but I've tried it, and I really believe in it. I stink at it. I think it's great for you, but it hasn't helped my sleep that much. Something called Seroquel. Okay, I know of NyQuil. Do you have yours, Seroquel? Hypnosis. Well, we had the one person who came in, and when was that? That was you and Jenna, where we had the speed hypnotist.
Right.
I don't know if I'm open enough. I'm skeptical. Somebody says 300 milligrams trazodone sleep. It only seems to keep me asleep, but not fall asleep. I'm not quite at that high. Think about how relaxed your body is from toe to head. I wish I could. Regular exercise. Do you settle down one night before? I know we talk about the electronics and stuff. There are nights when I don't do it at all, and it doesn't do a damn thing for me. There are other nights when I put a podcast on and I fall asleep. Let's see. People talking about Ambien. Intermittent fasting. That's my thing, too, is because I will nibble. I don't have main meals, but I nibble just for a little bit of joy. A lot of people saying medical marijuana and CBD, it hasn't done much for me. It just hasn't. You know, I've tried it.
Did you mention weighted blanket yet?
The weighted blanket, yeah.
Because there's a lot of texts about weighted blanket.
Maybe I should try that. Because I know at Kathleen's house, Quentin has a weighted blanket. So I listen, these are all great suggestions, and it's very kind of you to suggest some ideas here. The chloroform, I think I'm going to pass on for now. Dr. Conrad Murray. Is he, Dr. Conrad Murray, is he still with us?
He is. He's in Houston.
Okay. I'm not going to go with the propofol either. I'm not going to have him. Come on over. Even though there are times you want him to come over to my house, don't you?
I have his phone number.
Mm-hmm. You keep sending it to me. 1224, that is the Lindis Construction Time Check. Time to call for 50% off installation labor on Season Guard windows. Mayor Fry, the mayor of Minneapolis, after traffic and weather, he's about 5 minutes away. Dara is at 1:35 today. Gerson Rosas, president of basketball operations for the Timberwolves, he's with us at 2:20. The president last night is in North Carolina, and he is speaking about the squad. And by now you know the chance. Send her back. Send her back. There were, you can see the camera shot. There are young children who are chanting, send her back. In the United States of America, in the middle of July, 2019, the President of the United States is speaking, and his supporters in the United States of America are chanting about a U.S. citizen, send her back. That is really happening right now. That is sad. That is devoid of decency. That is beneath dignity. That is how in the hell is this happening in this country? The president realizing that finally enough spineless Republicans are stepping forward is saying in the last half hour he wasn't comfortable with it. Oh, we've got the audio. Here's the president.
I think I did. I started speaking very quickly. It really
no, he
was
didn't.
A loud. I disagree with it, by the way, but it was quite a chant.
What a liar! What
got
a
another one here.
What a total lie.
Well, I didn't like that they did it, and I started speaking very quickly. I could have stood back. No,
honestly, there's absolutely, positively, unequivocally no chance he started speaking quickly. Just watch it. John McCain, in our state, right?
Lakeville, I believe it
was. Lakeville, that's exactly right. Last couple months, running against Barack Obama, or as was announced on this radio station by Al Malmberg, your pal, Shaletta, when he won. I hope he was reprimanded at the station when he announced this. Barack Hussein Obama. Huh. Al, that's really interesting how you worked in Hussein. Okay. That was pathetic. Barack Hussein Obama. When a woman stepped up to John McCain in a very competitive race and said this, listen to the contrast between John McCain, a war hero, compared to the guy who's in the White House right now.
I got to ask you a question. I do not believe in, I can't trust Obama. I have read about him, and he's an Arab. He is not.
No, ma'am. He's a decent family man, citizen that I just happen to have disagreements with on fundamental issues, and that's what this campaign is all about. He's not. Thank you.
Period. End of statement. That's it. That's all you have to do.
And the applause at the end, too, for the correction.
That's it.
Where would that be today?
That exactly. I mean, that's it. So when you hear these chants, send her back, or when you hear the president lie, today, what do you think? Facebook, we're going to get to it at 103 because I want texts and phone calls on it. 103. But chime in anytime you would like. It's 32 past 12. It's 37 past 12. We're in downtown Minneapolis. The mayor of Minneapolis, Jacob Fry, is kind enough to join us. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you coming in.
Oh, thank you for having me, Chad.
All right, let's talk Minneapolis. You have multiple issues, but what is the number one issue that the city of Minneapolis is facing right now? If you had to say the top one.
Well, it's always hard.
You've always put me in one of these positions, Chad, where I've got to choose between two really important ones. I would say, public safety is always kind of the number one priority of government. But on top of that, it's housing too. You know, you can't be safe if you don't have a roof to go home to at the end of the night. If you don't have the ability to rest your head on the pillow and rejuvenate for the next day. So it's housing. It's public safety. It's economic inclusion. There's a series of them, but you got to keep people as safe as a number one, as a top priority. As
okay,
well.
I want to get to safety in moments here, but let's talk housing because that was a huge part of your campaign.
Yes, it is.
Right, and you said this is going to be a key issue from the day you've walked in to now where you're at now. Where is the city most improved in that area, and where are you still fairly frustrated in that area where you hope to be further along?
We're making dramatic progress on the policy and implementation levels, and it's not like you're going to solve an affordable housing crisis overnight or in a year and a half for that matter. I mean, it takes longer than that just to put up a building most of the time. But the truth is that we are leading the nation in many respects with the things that we're doing. We've tripled the amount of money that we've put into the affordable housing budget. We're up around $40 million. We've made some really aggressive measures to make sure that we have a diversity of housing options in every neighborhood. We've done things to make sure that we can accommodate the massive demand that we have to live in Minneapolis with new supply. Yes, we're working on it. Yes, we're making progress. But of course, we've got a long way to go.
Let's talk public safety. I'm looking at the data that I see on the CARE 11 site that I believe the city has backed up, that violence right now, violent crime is up 22% in the city. Why is that?
So, well, it depends on what you're looking at. And you got to make sure that you're parsing out the data. So yeah. What we saw from 2017 to 2018 was a massive drop mm-hmm. in violent crime. We had somewhere in the range of a 25% decline.
I think
in
even 27%.
Crime. That's right. So even better.
Yep.
Thank you for correcting me. And yes, we have seen an uptick in violent crime this year. And if you'll, I'm one that, here's the truth. I am not a policing expert. You can't possibly be an expert, an absolute expert on all of the different thousand issues that come across my table every single day. So we get good people in place. And one of those good, excellent people is Chief Arredondo. And I expect a lot from him. But if I'm going to expect a lot from him, I also believe that we need to give him the resources that he needs in order to succeed. And what he's saying right now very clearly is that to do the job, to improve public safety in the city, to improve police community relations, and then ultimately make our city more just, he needs more resources, he needs more personnel. And to be specific, I'm talking about more police officers. We can't expect police officers to develop out positive relationships with the community if they're simply running from 911 call to 911 call all the time. And so they need the numbers and the resources to do that. He's advocating right now, and I support him in that increase.
Why is the city council pushing back on that?
I don't want to speak for the city council, and I don't think
the
city council
is. But you're the mayor. I mean, this is something that you believe in. You just talked about an important relationship, and there's a lot of people who are saying that's not the only answer.
Well, as the mayor, I can speak for the mayor.
Yeah.
I can say why this is an important item for the city. I can say this why this is absolutely critical for public safety. And here's the thing. The data is so unbelievably clear. First, on a per capita basis, we are well below what many other large cities have in terms of their police force. But when you are able to add more personnel, when you're able to add more police officers, what they find is that to a point, crime actually drops. There are fewer arrests, and there's also less incarceration. So this is the data. I'm not just going to invent this on my own. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to spout off a bunch of rhetoric without knowing what I'm talking about. But the data is really clear on this.
So this is after I talked to, because we've been trying to get you on for a little bit here, talked to about a dozen people who work downtown or own businesses downtown who say, yes, that they want more police officers here, But they also feel like many of the police officers that they talk to wonder if they have enough power, enough available to them, tools to deal with some issues, such as when individuals are hanging in certain areas, loitering, whatever they might be doing, harassing individuals, and that these individuals are not taken out of those locations quick enough. When you hear me say that or others say that, what do you say to that?
Well, I like to talk about specifics. And so when you say that police officers don't have the power to necessarily do their jobs, what specifically are we talking about? So I pose that as a question back to you. Are you saying loitering?
So here's what I keep hearing from people who are in the core of downtown, that you're seeing more people who are hanging in certain areas who are harassing individuals, and that they think this should be dealt with sooner and quicker. And that they have the feeling, as individuals who work down there on a regular basis, that these individuals are down there feel like they can do this, that they may get a reprimand, but nothing really happens to them.
So
does that seem believable to you, or does that seem like a false narrative?
No, I hear when people saying that, absolutely. But so here's the thing, though. So let's take, I don't know, panhandling, for instance.
Okay.
We need to start from this standpoint because it's just the truth. Panhandling is constitutionally allowed. You are allowed to ask somebody for money on the street. However, we as government are able to regulate based on time, place, and manner. In other words, you can't panhandle at these certain times. You can't panhandle at these certain locations, and you can't panhandle in an aggressive fashion. And by the way, aggressive oftentimes means asking more than once.
Yeah.
And so, yes, we are able to enforce that if we have people around to see it. And so if somebody is being harassed, certainly if somebody is being assaulted, yeah, I want our officers to be able to act. Now, if it's just this kind of overarching feeling, you know what I mean? If it's just, oh, well, I don't really like people hanging around yeah. is a legal activity.
Okay, that's fair.
I
agree with that. But these are individuals who are seeing this on a regular basis who, listen, we've got a lot of construction downtown right now. A lot of roads, limited. Hennepin Avenue is part of it.
Right.
And the area that I keep hearing about is the part of Hennepin, which is near the Orpheum. McKenzie's is right there. That a lot of people are hanging around that area. Well, and it's becoming tougher for individuals to go by without facing some of these comments, harassment. And I get it. Some people could be way too sensitive to this. Some people could be overreacting. But is there some truth when you're talking to your officers and talking to – because you're a visible person, talking to people when you hear comments like this?
Well, so here's the thing is there's illegality and then there's bad behavior. And I expect that people should be operating with great behavior. They should be treating people with respect and dignity regardless of who you are when they're walking down the street. And, you know, no, I people shouldn't need to have to tolerate catcalling and getting called names.
Yeah.
We expect the behavior to be improved. Now, are these things illegal? Can you get arrested for them? No, absolutely not. You can't. However, when these elements they rise to the level of an assault or harassment, then yes, our officers are able to step in. But you know, this is why it's so important to be specific when we're talking about this. And there's illegality and there's bad behavior, and we expect people to be operating lawfully. We also expect good behavior.
Okay, so let's talk what the mayor can and can't do. Right, when you are on the city council and running, and you ran against Mayor Hodges and won. You talked about, at times, her lack of visibility, that she wasn't out front enough. How are you on the public safety issue trying to be as out front as possible? Because part of the city is about an attitude. Part of the city is about you want to come down here because there's so much going on. There's great businesses. There's great restaurants. We got the sports. We got the arts. What role can you play in these areas by being out there, by sending the right message so people still feel like downtown Minneapolis is every bit as welcoming today as it always has been and always will be?
Well, first off, you know, you come on the Chad Hartman show incessantly, and I think this is like the sixth or the seventh time, something like that, that I've come on your show,
yes.
Which I think is probably a record, right, Chad?
Yeah.
Somewhere in there.
It's
Thank
good.
You for acknowledging that.
Yeah,
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So, but yes, you got to be out front on some of these items, and we are trying to get ahead of these items prior to the budget. So the budget is going to be recommended by me, the mayor, in a matter of a little over a month, I believe.
Yep.
Then that budget subsequently gets approved, or parts of it get approved by the city council. And I just want to be exceedingly clear as to where I am. And where I am is supporting Chief Arredondo and his vision. You know, we do need to have more officers in order to do the job that we're talking about, to build out police community relations, to enhance public safety. And I do support the call for more officers.
Was it helpful to get Sheriff Hutchinson and Hennepin County out there last weekend?
It was helpful.
Yep.
Yes. You know, having that additional collaboration between my office, our chief of Minneapolis police, as well as Sheriff Hutch, was is definitely a welcomed camaraderie.
How much does it hurt you when an incident like that happens at Crave? And then I'm going to get to other topics, but this is something people are talking about.
Well,
you know, and the balance of business responsibility. Well, most importantly, the individuals involved. Okay, right. The business responsibility and the city responsibility too.
You know, you can have a thousand wonderful interactions with a police officer. The police officer could be fighting and stopping crime a thousand times over. And then, you know, one incident, yes, it does have an impact on the overall perception. And let's be real, at a certain point, perception becomes reality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not sure the general viewing public or those who are listening necessarily knew the exact statistic as to how crime has increased or decreased, but they know what they're hearing.
Yep.
And they know what they're seeing and feeling. And so part of this whole goal is to, yes, improve both the perception of police community relations as well as the perception of safety.
So where do you think people are at, though, with that? Because that's a little bit of what I was saying before, the attitude. How do you think the perception of downtown Minneapolis matches up when you're trying to gauge it to how you'd really like it to be?
You know, no matter what state you're in, no matter what year it is, whether it's 1995 or 2019, progress is necessary to see, you know. And, you know, the truth is that we have had drops in crime over the last, you know, decade, last 15 years or so. In some cases, we've had significant drops.
Mm-hmm.
But where the perception is not matching those statistical numbers, yeah, we got to do something about that. And so that's why you got to get out in front of some of these measures. And by the way, here's another thing. Our city is growing. You know, we're growing dramatically. And we've seen an approximate 15% reduction per capita in the number of officers that we have while our population is going up substantially.
Why has that happened?
Well, it's because our city's growing, and we haven't been accounting for that with an increase in the force.
Is that on the past city council, the past mayors? I mean, shouldn't that have stayed in tune? If the city was going to prosper and bring in more people, which is fantastic, don't you have to match up those requirements, including, you know, police, fire, whatever it might be?
You do. As a city grows, you need to make sure that city services, basic services, grow with it. And whether that comes in the form of filling potholes or our police force or fire department, we need to make those necessary investments.
Let's get to three other items before you go. When you either see it or read about it, when thousands of people are chanting at a rally for President Trump last night and they're directing this towards Ilhan Omar and they're saying, send her back, you think what?
I think it's vile. You know, if you don't have a chill run down your spine when you hear something like that, then, you know, you need to look at yourself again in the mirror and maybe become a bit more compassionate. Because, yeah, no, there's no room for that. It is scary to see at the very least.
I think it's tomorrow. You're having a week highlighting African-American businesses. Do I have the timing on that right? And then expand on that a little bit.
Black Business Week. It's
okay.
It's starting tomorrow and ending July 27th. So it's going about a week. And yeah, you know, we're highlighting some really exceptional, extraordinary businesses that we have in this city. And it's not just about showing what sets these extraordinary black-owned businesses apart. It's also making sure that the precisions of our solutions match the precision of the harm that was initially inflicted. And let's be real, Chad. You know, there's some massive gaps in terms of business ownership, in terms of wealth building and housing, you name it,
education.
Between whites, education, between whites and people of color. And so we've got some clear work that has to be done. So, yes, it's highlighting it, but it's also doing things like connecting those who show up to procurement opportunities at the city. You know, we have contracts with entities outside the city and making sure that they're connected so that they know what is available. It's making sure to account for permitting and licensing and showing people how to navigate the infrastructure over at City Hall. And we're working with a broad coalition that includes, you know, yes, city staff, yes, the Black Chamber of Commerce, yes, Council Vice President Andrea Jenkins, but also, you know, hundreds and hundreds of Black-owned businesses throughout the city.
The tenant screening proposal is a topic that registers with a lot of people. Under the current proposal, property owners would not be able to use felony convictions that occurred more than 5 years ago or misdemeanor offenses that are more than 2 years old. They also wouldn't be able to use vacated or expunged convictions, arrests that did not result in convictions or juvenile convictions. Is that too far or is that the right way to go?
There is an extensive ordinance that our city council is presently drafting, and I don't know what place that draft is presently in. What I do know is you want to make sure that the actions you take don't make the bubble get pushed out in some other location. You know, you don't want to make, for instance, rents to increase or to just make the screening based on incomes, which can potentially happen. But, you know, in Minneapolis, we're a place of second chances, you know, and if you've done your time in prison, we don't want you to be doing a second time out in society. So, you know, of course you should have the opportunity to get proper housing.
But when you hear this particular part, if you were on the city council, and it was, I'll just repeat it again, would not be able to use a felony conviction that occurred more than 5 years ago, a misdemeanor offense that are more than 2 years old. They would also not be able to use vacated or expunged convictions, arrests that did not result in convictions or juvenile convictions. Would you vote yes on that?
Chad, the truth is I don't know before the draft has been completed because that's just one separate item in a much larger context that is that ordinance.
Yeah.
And so if I'm just giving you an honest answer, the honest answer is you need to read the ordinance as a whole. And right now the ordinance is still being drafted, and I'm going to be working with my council colleagues to make sure it's drafted in a way that's functional.
Do you think the mayor's position is powerful enough in the city?
You know, as mayor, you always want to make sure that your vision becomes a reality and comes to fruition. What we have in our city is a decentralized leadership structure. You know, it's not a weak mayor system. It is not a strong mayor system. You know, the traditional quote unquote weak mayor system is one where you have the mayor literally sit on the city council.
Yeah.
And they just hold the gavel. And then you have a city manager that kind of runs the show. In the traditional, very strong mayor system, you've got a mayor that controls the school board and everything to do with the park system. And, you know, we don't have that either. You know, we're a system that requires collaboration. We're a system that requires me and other elected officials to work with, you know, the mayor, the city council, the city coordinator, an independent park and school board, Hennepin County, Metro Transit, Met Council. You know, you've got all these different agencies and entities out there. And unless you're able to build out a coalition, you can't get anything done. So that's what we're trying to do.
But part of the reason I asked that, because now you've seen both sides, right?
Yeah.
You were on the city council. You were effective on that. You were respected. That was a part of the reason why you became the next mayor. Now you're the mayor. What's the better way to go? Is the better way to go the system as it is right now? Or let's talk about this going forward after you leave. And that might be 20 years from now. That might be 3 years from now.
So it's a really deep and philosophical question, even if you didn't intend to ask it that way. But you know, what we do need is a whole lot more clarity in the way our charter is set up. And, you know, there are instances when, yes, I do believe the mayor should have full authority. And one great example of that is with our police department. You know, you may have heard about last year there was a move by the city council to have the police chief report to 14 different people. Right now they just report to the mayor. They would have the mayor report to the mayor plus 13 council members. It's a bad idea. You know, you need that consistency of command. You need the ability to change quickly and react quickly. And there's no possible way of doing that if you have 14 different bosses, many of whom have different perspectives.
I have no idea how that would have worked. I'm with you 100%. Listen, I always appreciate you coming in. answering questions. Thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you,
Chad. And we'll reach out to you on a regular basis.
I appreciate it.
That of Minneapolis, Jacob Fry, who is kind enough to join us for about a 20-minute interview, and it's not easy to get the mayor to come in, so we thank him for doing that because he has a very, very busy schedule, so it's very kind of him to do that. Let's give you CBS News in a matter of moments.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.